Well, it's Easter Sunday. He is risen. You're allowed to say, "He is risen indeed," in response if you like, so we'll try it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And that's what we're going to talk about, that Jesus was raised. Because if Jesus wasn't raised, then what we're doing here is actually kind of pointless. I mean, it's fun. It's pleasant. We got to hear a lovely singer. We got to see some children displaying knowledge. Those are good things. But if that's all we come here to do, then I think we might have missed the point. In fact, St. Paul writes in his letter to the church in Corinth, which was read for us this morning, he said, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all other people." Because Paul understood that while Jesus was a good teacher and he had some good things to say, if that's all he was, then there was no difference between him and any other good teacher. And with him came no hope. But Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just an example of how to live a moral life that's pleasing to God. Jesus was in a mysterious union that we'll never fully understand. He was completely a human being and completely God at the same time. And when Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. Jesus was raised. We find that hard to believe, and that's okay that we find that hard to believe. The people who knew Jesus best found it hard to believe, to the point that when he was raised from the dead and they saw him, they didn't know who he even was. And we occasionally find it, I don't know if it's good for our ego to think that if we would have been there, we would have recognized instantly, except we wouldn't. We expect that when people die, they're going to stay dead. And if we see somebody who looks like them, as I did, seemed most acute for the first couple of years after my mother died, I'd see a woman with a particular hairstyle or wearing a particular kind of clothing, usually from sort of the back three quarters, and I would have that momentary thinking that, kind of looks like my mother. But I knew it wasn't her because, she was dead. That's just the way it works. So when Mary turned around and saw Jesus and thought he was the gardener, that just made sense. That's where he fit best. But Jesus then, I suppose he could have just let Mary think he was the gardener. I'm not sure why he would have, but he could have, I suppose. But instead he said, "No, it's me." By addressing her by name, she knew instantly who it was, because he'd been raised. It's one of the mysteries of our faith. And we do have a few. We have things that we don't fully understand. And there's part of us that says that if we don't fully understand something, then how can we believe it? And I would accept that from people if we only believe things we fully understood. But of course we don't. We don't fully understand how love works. But we know when we love somebody. And we know when somebody loves us. In one of the mysteries that we all experience and that we're seeing the early outcomes of, we don't really know how human beings acquire language. You think after all these centuries we would have figured that out, but we don't really know how it works. And yet it does. We saw small people here earlier using language, and it wasn't that long ago that they weren't using any at all. Well, they were, but we didn't understand it. My grandson, Eli, has discovered his ability to make sounds. And I know it's a language. I just don't understand it. You know how it is. He's 3 months old, and you know how babies are around that age. They make sentences, and they say words, and they sort of look at you and raise their eyebrows like you should understand, and you feel kind of dense because you don't. But we don't really understand how people learn how to talk, and yet they do, and we accept that. I always find it amusing when people say, "I would believe in the resurrection if I could understand it." And I say, okay. I would believe in loyalty if I could understand it. At which point they look at you like you're kind of crazy. Because we don't really know how that works either. We don't have an acid test for loyalty any more than we do for love. But we know it when it's there. There are some things we accept by faith because that's the way we're built. We aren't built to know everything. There are things that are beyond us, and that's simply one of the limitations of being a human being. And there are times it's frustrating. I, for example, often wish I knew what my kids were thinking a little better, or could understand what they meant when they said things. But it's a limitation that we've learned to live with. And we take some things on faith. And one of the things that we take on faith is the resurrection of Jesus. In one way, it doesn't make any sense. People who are dead stay dead. That's how it works. That's what we know. And yet, without the resurrection, church history makes no sense whatsoever. Without the resurrection, it's impossible for us to imagine that the church, which for these next few weeks of Easter we'll be reading about the growth of the church in the book of Acts, that wouldn't work. We wouldn't have people putting their lives on the line in the way they did for something that they knew wasn't true. But they knew it was true because they'd had an encounter with the living Christ after they had seen him die. And on Easter Sunday, we get together to celebrate the fact that God became a human being just like us. Not just for fun, although I suspect there were some wonderful times for Jesus, just like there is for all of us. Jesus became a human being so that we would know beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt that God understands what it means to be like us. Before that, we knew about, or we can imagine knowing about, an omniscient God, a God who knows everything, and a God who's omnipresent, who's in all places. And we can think through all those omnis, and they're amazing, and they're beyond us in some ways. But they're also distant from us because we're not omnipresent. We're not everywhere at once. And no matter what our children up to a particular age think, we don't know everything. We have all kinds of limits. And when we think of a God who's limitless, we think, well, how can that God understand us? How can that God know what it means to go through a life that, while filled with wonder, is still filled with pain and suffering? If Jesus had never come, we would always have those questions. But he did come. In another mystery, in another thing we'll never fully understand, he gave up parts of being divine, his ability to be in all places at once and to know everything, to become a human being just like us. While still remaining God, he became like us to experience what we experience. And I've said before, obviously he didn't experience everything in detail. He's never experienced the frustration of waiting for a download to happen because your dial-up or your broadband is too slow. But he understood frustration. He never knew what road rage was like because somebody cut him off in a car, but I'm sure he had people who cut him off in crowded marketplaces, and he understands all of the things that we understand. And so when he died and rose again, he didn't leave that knowledge behind. He didn't forget all of those things that he experienced when he was a human being just like us. But instead, in Christ, the risen Christ whose resurrection we celebrate today, we have someone who represents us from the inside. Someone who knows exactly what it's like to face the temptations that we face. Who knows exactly what it's like to deal with the frustrations of just the lives we all live. Who knows the pain of separation, the grief of loss, the same way we do. And triumphed over them all. That's what Paul's getting at when he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied more than all. If all we had was a good teacher, if all we had was somebody who said, yeah, I know what that feels like, then what would we have? Nothing. But when Christ was raised from the dead, when that final stamp of this is God was put on Christ in a way that was unmistakable to his followers and unmistakable to us, we have the hope that at the right hand of God, even now, we have Jesus interceding for us and his Holy Spirit here working with us even now. Jesus was raised not just so God could demonstrate how powerful he was, but he was raised that we might have hope in the resurrection, that we too might know that one day we also will be raised, that we will go from a life like this one, filled with joy, filled with delight, but filled with all that makes this a fallen world. And we'll be raised into perfection. That all those who have a relationship with God through Jesus have the sure hope that as Christ was raised, so will we be. And as Christ was raised from this world into a world of perfection, so will we. I often say that Easter Sunday is the best day of the year. It's better than my birthday. It's better than my anniversary. It's even better than the birthdays of my children and grandchildren. Because it's what brings meaning to all of those other days. That knowing that Christ was willing to come to earth, to live here as us, to give up his life that we might be forgiven, and then raised again through the power of God, gives me hope for every day. It makes the joys even sweeter. It makes the suffering easier to take because I know that it has meaning. And that one day we'll understand all that we need to understand as we too are raised as Jesus was. That we too will be in the presence of God as Jesus is now. And I look forward to that day. And it gives me hope. We celebrate it this day. Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection of our Lord, the best day of the year. Amen.